Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
This is the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
No.
This is Creepy, a podcast dedicated to sharing the most famous, chilling, and disturbing creepypastas and urban legends in the world. Whether these stories truly happened or are simply fabrications is for you to decide. These stories may contain graphic depictions of violence and explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
Creepy presents Seashells, written by Kyle Harrison and narrated by Heather Thomas.
Look, Mommy! I found another! I smiled and tilted my sunglasses up, looking across the sandy shore to where my 7-year-old daughter, Hannah, stood, her tiny hands holding the conch shell up over her head proudly, like a trophy. That's awesome, hun! What color is that one? I asked.
Blue and white,
she squeaked with delight. My left hand grabbed the wicker basket that was sitting next to me on the blanket, and I raised it up for her to come over and drop her latest addition into the pile.
Wow, we must have 1,000 of them,
Hannah squealed as she looked down at the ones we had collected over the past week. When we get home, we'll find a spot in my den to display all of them, I told her excitedly. That made her eyes get even wider with joy as she ran back toward the lapping waves, eager to make her collection even bigger. Behind me, I heard an engine turn off and tilted my head to see Jeffrey returning, with everything loaded up into the SUV. That didn't take long, I admitted, wishing that our time here wouldn't have to end.
I think I got everything, but before we hit the open road, would you mind doing a once-over? You know your brother would kill us if we even left a candy wrapper in his Malibu suite,
he said as he trudged down to the beach next to me. Oh, he needs to lighten up, I teased as I stood up and stretched, watching the midday sun crest the shores of the beach.
He's your brother,
Jeff reminded me as he kissed me on the cheek softly, and then looked toward the waves.
Daddy, Daddy, Daddy!
Hannah said as she ran toward him and leapt into his arms.
Hey, Pumpkin, I missed you too,
he said with a smile as he lifted her up and twirled her around. I smiled and started gathering up my things from the beach as Jeff glanced down at the wicker basket.
What's all this?
He asked in a hushed tone as he put our daughter back down, her toes wriggling into the sand once more.
It's my collection. Mommy came up with the idea. She said they're called
souvenirs?
Jeff guessed as he rummaged through the seashells.
Yeah, that means that they are important, Hannah said with a big smile.
He nodded knowingly and picked up one shell before saying,
You know, I bet you didn't know this, but these shells are also magical.
Hannah froze, her excitement for the assignment I had given her immediately skyrocketing.
You mean like Thor and stuff?
She asked excitedly.
Exactly like that, but way cooler. You see, If you hold a shell up to your ear, you can hear the ocean that it came from. It's almost like it can take you there, Jeff told her. He scooped up one and gently nudged her close to him to give it a try. Hannah waited eagerly as he held the conch shell close to her braided hair, and she squinted as she struggled to hear it.
I don't know if I can hear anything, Daddy, she said disappointedly.
He paused and held it up to his own ear before frowning and shrugging. All the noise from the ocean makes it hard to hear the magic. Besides, you can't really miss the ocean when it's right here, you nut. He ruffled her hair and giggled as they began to run around the beach, chasing one another. I stood there and smiled, sighing and wishing moments like these could last forever. After about another 5 minutes, though, it was finally time to go, and Jeff guided our sobbing little girl to the back seat.
But I don't want to leave, Hannah screamed.
I know. None of us do, I said as I drove us back up the road to the beach house. My brother Martin had been kind enough to let us stay there using his timeshares for the week, and it had literally been like disconnecting from reality. As far as vacations were concerned, it literally took the cake as my all-time favorite. Beachfront property, no neighbors within miles, an all-access bar and hot tub. There wasn't a single thing I could complain about. Try to distract her while I go make sure everything is locked up, I told Jeffrey as I hopped out and did a walkthrough of Martin's property. I had to hand it to Jeff. Nothing seemed out of place. There was a little nook and cranny for everything that my brother wanted, even one of the shells that Hannah had become fond of during our stay there. I paused and picked it up to listen to that familiar current again, just to get lost in the moment one last time. It was like a whisper, faint and sad, like a woman moaning. I put the shell back down, a bit perplexed by the sound it had made, and then finished checking the house. Once I was done, it was finally time to drive home. On the drive, Hannah had finally calmed down and watched some DVDs. It was still another 5 hours before we would reach our home state. We stopped at a small, seedy hotel just outside of South Carolina for the night. That was when Hannah got the inkling to start rummaging through her shell collection and listen to the different sounds that each made. I watched her from the passenger seat with mild interest as Jeff ran up to the front desk to pay. She was becoming more and more frustrated with each passing moment as she grabbed a shell, attempted to listen to the noise it made, and then slamming her fist down into the pile. Hey, what's wrong? I asked as I turned around in my seat to stare at her.
Dad lied! None of these are working! Hannah screamed as she grabbed another handful and chucked them out of the window.
Jeff came back not a moment too soon with our key cards, some of the discarded shells falling at his feet.
Hey now, what's the big deal? He asked as he picked one up.
They don't work, our daughter said angrily.
He gave her a look and then held it up to his ear. I saw a look of surprise on his face. Then he tried it with another, and then another.
Well, we can always get some better ones when we come back, he said with a shrug as he passed her a Snickers bar and added,
Come on,
there's a storm on the way and we should get to bed.
Hannah dashed after him as I made sure all of our car windows were up. Then all three of us wasted the rest of the evening watching old movies and eating pizza. A few hours later,
once Hannah was sound asleep, Jeff pulled out his briefcase and unlatched it.
"What are you doing?" I whispered as he took out his laptop.
"I know you said no electronics during the trip, but this doesn't count, right?" he said as he logged into the internet.
"No, I just mean, what are you looking for?"
I asked as I snuggled closer to him. He typed in seashell resonance on Google and pulled up an article about the way that shells make noise.
"I knew it," he muttered.
"Knew what?"
"Right here, babe. It says, the shape of the shell creates a cavity that allows the human ear to hear sounds that are normally discarded by the brain. But due to the enclosed space of the shell, it is an occlusion effect, similar to when you hold your ear under a cup."
"Damned odd, if you ask me," Jeff told me.
"I'm not quite sure I follow you," I admitted.
"Those shells that Hannah found? Not a single one of them is making a noise," Jeff told me.
I grabbed one of the shells and put it up to my ear. I heard that same faint droning sound from earlier. It almost sounded like a voice. It said,
"You both should get your ears checked. I can hear it as plain as day.
And it kind of freaks me out, too," I admitted. Jeff took the shell from my hand and tried it himself, shaking his head.
"No, I can't hear a thing," he admitted.
I gave him an odd look, but didn't question it. The hour was late, and we both needed to get some sleep before the long drive tomorrow. I put the curious shell back down and drifted off to sleep in his arms. It didn't take long, though, before I heard the shuffling of little feet in the bathroom, and Hannah was running water in the tub. I sighed and stretched, trying to wake Jeff to go see what she was doing. I've always been a bit of a light sleeper, and since he had drove this part of the trip home, it had been my intention to handle the rest. That wouldn't be possible, though, if our daughter was up all night playing with the bathwater. I stood up and groggily walked to the dim light that peeked out from underneath the door.
"Hannah, it's late. You should get back into bed," I muttered as I moved to turn the handle.
When the door opened, my world seems to go still for but a moment. I saw my daughter in the tub, naked and face down as she poured water on top of her head. It looked like she was deliberately holding herself there to attempt to drown.
"Hannah, what has gotten into you?"
I screamed as I dashed over to the tub and pulled her out. She was coughing and gagging, trying to gasp for air. But at the same time, she kept pushing away from me, trying again to hold herself under the rush of water.
"Jeff! Jeff, wake up!"
I shouted as I pulled her, and she scratched at me like a feral animal. Finally, I used all of my strength to wrap my arms around her and lift her up. Hannah kicked and shrieked as I did. As I pulled her back toward the bedroom, I turned to try and get Jeff's attention. Yet instead, all I saw was the sheets tossed back, and my husband was nowhere in sight. Hannah somehow managed to break loose of my grip and ran toward the open door. I called out to her, but she didn't listen. She just seemed to be running into the night like she was mad. I grabbed my coat and looked toward the edge of the parking lot. Jeffrey was standing there, looking down at the swimming pool. Hannah was racing toward him and then squeezing at his hand. I almost relaxed. Then I saw them both plunge into the cold waters. I yelled at the top of my lungs,
A flurry of raindrops hit me as I ran toward the pool. Both of them were just sinking to the bottom, not even fighting, as the water pressure hit their lungs. I cried and screamed in confusion, desperate to understand what was happening. Then both of their bodies became like rag dolls, drifting toward the surface. As they hit the edge of the pool, my own body went limp. I watched in stunned silence as the rain hit them, and I screamed into the heavens. Something on the edge of my vision caught my attention, though. The strange and peculiar shells that my daughter had dug up that same morning. The ones both she and Jeff had claimed were silent. I remembered the shrieks and the voice I heard from the seashell. My hand trembled as I picked it up, trying to tie together their strange deaths to this inanimate object. It seemed foolish. I held it close to my ear, looking like a crazed woman as I stared down at my baby's lifeless body. But this time, there was only silence inside.
For more information, including pictures and videos of the stories told on this podcast, or to suggest stories for future episodes, please visit us at CreepyPod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or email us at creepypod@gmail.com. All stories told on this podcast can be found at creepypastawikia.com and are protected by a Creative Commons license, some rights reserved unless otherwise stated.
The Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network, home of creepy. For disturbing and terrifying creepypastas. SCP Archives, with full cast storytelling. Horror Queers, genre commentary from the LGBTQ perspective. The Boo Crew, for horror-centric interviews. Listen free wherever you stream audio and at bloodydisgusting.com/podcasts.